All right. I'd like to share a bit of history with you from a website called www.times.ws. And this bit of history is from 1924 to 1925. Okay? I know that sounds like a random time to choose, but just listen to what was happening in that time. It was an extraordinary time in history.
January 3rd, 1924, Howard Carter opened the doors to the last shrine in the hall, revealing the large stone sarcophagus of the pharaoh Tutankhamun, otherwise known as King Tut. On January 21st, 1924, Russian revolutionary Vladimir Ilyich Lenin died at age 53, and a major struggle for power in the Soviet Union began. A triumvirate led by Joseph Stalin succeeded Lenin.
Someone will wave to you. Just give them the thanks.
March 3rd, 1924. Kemal Atatürk forced the abolition of the Muslim Caliphate through the protesting assembly and banned all Kurdish schools, publications, and associations. This ended the Ottoman Empire and created the modern Middle East, though Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Saudi Arabia were still colonies of Britain and France. March 20, 1924. In the U.S., the Virginia legislature passed two closely related eugenics laws entitled the Racial Integrity Act, an act to provide for the sexual sterilization of inmates at state institutions in certain cases. Henceforth, referred to as the Sterilization Act, the Racial Integrity Act, one drop law, required that a racial description of every person be recorded at birth, and felonized marriage between white persons and non-white persons.
May 26, 1924. The U.S. Immigration Act of 1924, also the Johnson-Reed Act, as it was known, prevented any further Japanese immigration to the U.S. for the next four decades. It included the National Origins Act and the Asian Exclusion Act, which prohibited the immigration of Arabs, East Asians, and Indians. June 17, 1924, the fascist militia marched into Rome.
November 27, 1924. The first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was held in New York's Herald Square. December 20, 1924. Adolf Hitler was released from prison after serving less than 1 year of a 5-year sentence for treason.
Also, 1924. A retired Episcopal bishop was tried and defrocked for declaring that communism was more relevant than Christianity. May 5th, 1925, John T. Scopes was arrested in Tennessee for teaching Darwin's theory of evolution.
July 18th, 1925, Hitler published his first volume of Mein Kampf, My Struggle. Volume 2 was published in 1926. It became the Bible for the Nazi Party. The book is filled with anti-Semitic writings, the disdain for morality, worship of power, and blueprints for world domination. August 8, 1925. The first National Congress of the Ku Klux Klan opened. 200,000 members marched on Washington, D.C.
1925, Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King in his encyclical Quas Primus of 1925. Today we celebrate that feast that started in 1925 in the midst of all those world going-ons. Feast of Christ the King is designated among Protestant churches as the last Sunday of the church year before Advent. And it's an anticipatory feast in that we look ahead to the coming of Christ into the world. We acknowledge, as John did, that Jesus is our Lord and that he is the Lord of truth. It's a reminder that despite the illusion and oppression of governments or faith traditions who seem to repeat themselves in their cruelty towards humanity and their need to control and oppress those who disagree with them or who they disagree with, Jesus reigns supreme in our hearts and in our minds. John describes the situation eloquently when he records the religious leaders of Jesus' day misrepresenting Jesus as a candidate for execution. And Pilate is trying to find a way to understand how to make that happen. He says, "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then." Pilate picks up on Jesus' words. "You are a king then." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." That truth which Jesus refers to is the reality that God does not care much for governments. God wants our primary allegiance to be to God. God wants us to love one another as God has loved us. God wants us to care for one another in the same way that Jesus demonstrated did caring during his life and continues to demonstrate caring today in his spirit. Apart from laws and regulations and traditions, Jesus is more about heart and justice. Jesus is about leveling the differences between the haves and the haves not. Jesus is about kindness, not cruelty. Not the cruelty that abounded when this feast day was established back in the 1920s. Not the cruelty that we see among our leaders today. Jesus expects his followers to be about something different, to act independently from the status quo of the government that we're living under. If we're really listening to Jesus, counting him as our true king, as our true leader, then we will sometimes be at odds with our government. We won't be able to support eugenics laws or immigration laws that reject people based on race or fear. We won't be able to support the suppression of free thought or free speech. We won't be able to support governments that bring about the oppression of people within or beyond their borders. We won't be able to support leaders who promote hatred and division instead of love and unity. We won't be able to support those things because fear and suppression, oppression and hatred are not what Jesus is about. Think about Jesus, the Jesus you know. That is not what he's about. They're not part of his truth that he came to share with us. the truth that we're supposed to share with others. Jesus is fairly clear that his followers will not make his will known through violence, but by the living of our lives and the words that come forth from our lips. It will be that integrity of spirit that will make the difference, that will cause people to sit up and take notice, that will change lives. It'll be that living as if Jesus mattered that will change the course of history so that all people will know the truth. All people will know that they are loved by God, that they will be cared for by God, that they will have enough by God in the name of our eternal King, Jesus Christ. Now, I read the papers, you read the papers, or the digital forms of those papers, and you know that we aren't there yet. And so it's important for us to recognize this Christ the King Sunday. It's important to realign our focus and to look to the coming of the one who will set all of God's people free. May the people say, "Come, Christ Jesus."
Come, Christ Jesus.
Come, Christ Jesus.
Come, Christ Jesus.
Let us gather in the hope of Jesus coming next Sunday as we begin the season of Advent. But for this week, let's think about the truth that's coming, the truth that is Jesus Christ. And let us pay homage to it with our words and with our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join together now in singing hymn number 97, Fairest Lord Jesus.